Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to the second hour of the broadcast, Upstate Outdoors. We're coming to you live from the Cabela's in Greenville on lovely Woodruff Road on a balmy 50-degree day.
It's trying to sunshine, Philip.
It's trying to sunshine. Wind's still blowing pretty good.
It's backed off a little, but it's still got a nice breeze going.
Well, if you're last weekend, we kind of suffered from outside-itis and fishing fishing flu. And so this weekend, if you are if you're like, I think I'll just kind of hang around the house, you come on out to Cabela's. The crappy madness is going on. It's the second weekend. You still got time to get here in time for the crappy fishing seminar that I'll be putting on right after the show.
The star of the show.
And you also can get in on some of the good sales that they have back in the fishing department. And at 2 o'clock, they're going to have free fried fish samples.
Flounder.
And, yeah, one of the guys at B&M told me, said, hey, you know what? The best thing to do if you're new to the store is just take them some crappy fillets over there. And I went, dude, I ain't cleaning fish for nobody.
And that is exactly right. Philip Gentry.
I'll bring you some fish,
Philip Gentry,
I ain't cleaning them.
Yeah, Philip Gentry, every time he's getting, you know, it's only been once or twice. There does not a scale knocked off of them nowhere.
Hey, look, man, I got coolers floating around out there with my name on them. Say, hey, look, here's the coolers. Got some ice in it and fish. When you get done cleaning them, just get me my cooler back.
Exactly.
But shoot, man, I'm not a good fish cleaner anyway.
I love cleaning fish. I know that sounds crazy to you. I love cleaning fish.
Yeah, I just wish there was a fish processor. You know, like you do with deer. You come in off the lake, you drop them off, and you come back and pick them up.
Well, you know, I got a new shed. I might could open up some kind of half decent.
Springer's fish cleaning service. Well, I tell you what, right in the vein of Springer's fish cleaning service, let's talk about Springer's Cajun crappy cooking service.
Thank you. You know, we really have sometimes too much fun doing this show, Philip Gentry.
Don't say that. The boss might be listening and want to cut our pay.
Dock our pay.
That's right.
Anyway, look, man, look, if you have come and attended one of these seminars that my blood brother Philip's been preaching and teaching about, I will guarantee you, you're going to be putting crappie in the bottom of your ice chest soon. All right? I promise you that. So, you know, most people like to fry them, okay, which is, you know, the standard. But there's other things you can do with a crappie, and here we're going to make a nice little Cajun casserole. So here we go, Cajun crappie with rice, all right? We need 1.5 pounds of crappie fillets, all right? 1 cup of mushroom sliced, the kind from the store, not the cow pasture. 1/2 cup of red or green peppers sliced, 1/2 cup of celery sliced, 1 can of whole tomatoes, 15 ounces with the juice. And if you're going to do this during the time of the year when you may have fresh tomatoes, you can use your own tomatoes. You're going to have to cut them, but you're going to still need to add the juice. You need about 3/4 cup of chicken broth, 3/4 cups of long grain rice. Here we go, Philip. 1 teaspoon of paprika. That's for you, Derek. 3/4 of thyme, 3/4 tablespoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of red pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. All right, you're going to need about a 3-quart casserole or baking dish. And in this dish, you're going to combine the mushrooms, the pepper, the celery, the onions, tomatoes, basically everything but the fish. All right, and you're going to cover and bake that for about 25 minutes. Now, at 400 degrees, and you're going to stir it up a little bit after that 25 minutes. It's not completely done. All right, at this time, you're going to take the fish that you have prepared, and I like to cut them in a little bit smaller instead of the whole fillet. All right, and I place the fish on top of this mixture, and then I take some of the mixture and spoon over the fish, and then I cover and bake this for about 20 minutes and or until the rice is tender, which, you know, 20, 25 minutes, you can always check it with a fork to see how the rice is doing and if the fish flakes. Then it's done, and then I garnish it with a little fresh parsley and lemon if desired. And, man, it's a one-dish deal. It's got a little Cajun kick to it. It's got the good old crappy taste to it, and it's all in one dish, and it's a complete meal. And first time I had this, I was where was I at? I was down on the Gulf Coast somewhere, and this was fixed for me by a Cajun friend I had, or a guy that used to live in Louisiana, and it was really good. So there you go, Philip. Cajun crappy with rice.
Speaking of paprika,
yeah.
Our buddy Derek from Brevard came to the seminar last night, and I was standing there getting ready to do the seminar, and this guy walks up, and he goes, I bet you can't guess who I am. And I'm like,
no.
And a lot of really bad scenarios run through my mind,
from my
checkered past. Mm-hmm. And I went, man, I'm really not good at this game. Why don't you just tell me who you are?
Right.
And he says, I'm Derek from Brevard. And I was like, oh, man. And I didn't tell him this, but I would have figured.
Derek, bigger guy.
Derek's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
But I just imagine Derek from Brevard would be a lot bigger than he was. You know, I guess you just blow him up in your mind,
Derek
from Brevard. But now we talked for a long time, and he brought his wife down, and he's got a whole boatload full of kids down, and we talked and had a good time.
That's fantastic.
He listened to the seminar, and he said, man, I won't be able to listen to the show tomorrow. And I said, that's why we got podcasts, Derek.
Exactly.
He goes, I know, but he had to he was taking – one of his daughters is in shooting competition, and I think they had a competition today. So,
I was giving out shameless shout-outs. I want to thank Shane Graham from Sugar Tip Custom Lures. He gave me a whole bag full of T-shirts and hats, and they've been giving them away over there in the card game. So, there you go.
Yeah, actually, he gave them to us, and I never saw them again. So, that's how that goes.
Well, you were busy being Philip.
Oh, yeah, so you're busy. You weren't looking, so
but,
I made off
look,
with them.
I turned around and gave
them. No, cool.
I turned around and let gave them out, and they let these people coming up here, and I gave. I did keep the lures, though.
I saw all that on the Facebook page.
Exactly, and I need to talk to you, Shane. I got some ideas I want to run by you.
If you're gonna steal baits from your partner, don't write about it on social media, okay?
Yeah, but Philip.
Just keep them and say, huh?
You're the guy that tells me you've got Tupperware daggum totes full of stuff, okay? Slap full of. Don't even know what you got. Would that be correct?
How do you think I got that?
Well, I'm learning from the best.
There you go. Well, awesome. Let's go to our break. When we come back, we got some news from the Department of Natural Resources talking about quail and cold water trout.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live from Cabela's on Woodruff Road in Greenville. Right here on the number one talk station in the Upstate, 106.3 WORD. Be right back.
Got a good reason.
Sing it, brother.
For taking the easy way out now. I'm supposed to be saving my voice, and it's not happening.
Well, so, I got some special voice.
Okay, you sing then. So welcome back, Upstate Outdoors.
I ain't drunk enough yet.
Oh, not yet. It's coming, but he ain't there yet. So what you got planned for this afternoon, Frank?
Drinking.
So we are at the Cabela's here in Greenville, and we're talking about all the great stuff they got going on. It's Crappy Madness weekend, 2 weeks deep into the event and sale, and I tell you what, it's really cool to have a lot of our fans coming
That's
in.
That's what I was just going
and
to get,
saying,
man.
Hey, man.
Can we get a picture with
you? Yeah, can we get a picture with you?
It still baffles and humbles me big time.
I like it when the guys come in and say, I make my wife listen to you. And then I like it when the wives come and go, I make my husband listen to you.
I just like when they looking so nice and they smelling so sweet and they just want a hug. I mean, I like it.
Yeah. You better hope your wife ain't listening.
She knows. She don't care.
Oh, yeah. She's like, hey, look.
You can have him.
Take over payments. It's fine with me. If you can afford the beer, you can have it. Well, let's talk about DNR news. If you are a quail aficionado or wish you were, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is hosting the 31st Annual Wild Quail Management Seminar. That's going to go on March 7th through the 8th at the James W. Webb Wildlife Center. That's down in Garnet, South Carolina, down in the lower part of the well, you know where it's
at. Way down there.
It's way down there. This will be the only seminar about wild quail offered in 2019 by DNR. The registration fee is $85 per person, which includes meals, overnight accommodations, and seminar materials. The deadline to register is Friday, February 22nd, so you got a couple of weeks there.
Right.
More information, you can contact the DNR Small Game Program in Columbia, 803-734-3609, or email Patty Casteen, and her email is on the DNR website. There'll be field demonstrations and classroom instruction that focus on habitat practices, including fire break establishment. That's something I've been looking at.
Yeah.
My deer club is starting to get some fire breaks in there. Prescribed burning, forest management, brush control, disking for natural foods and supplemental food patch plantings. Presentations will be given on wild quail, natural history, biology, disease and parasites, predation and other factors that may be contributing to the population decline. You can get more information from the DNR website at dnr.sc.gov. For those of you angling enthusiasts out there, also got some good news for you. In the Midlands, lower part of the state down below Lake Murray, the DNR, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, is stocking thousands of catchable-sized rainbow trout. That's going to be from 8 to 11 inches. Is that catchable size?
Yeah. It's enough to get the grease hot.
Enough to make a stink in the pot.
I promise you that.
And they're also stocking smaller brown trout that's 4 to 6 inches. You might have a tough time with that one, but you eat sardines, don't you? And that's from those are stocked from the Wahala State Fish Hatchery in Oconee County, and they're going into the lower Saluda River near Columbia. Now, you might remember that's the area that they just established their year-round catch and release area.
Right.
That's not the whole stretch of that. The stocking process is done by trucking the trout to four locations in the upper two-thirds of the river. The cold waters released from the bottom of Lake Murray provide suitable habitat for the trout, creating a unique and very popular fishery in the Midlands. Who would think that you'd have cold water trout?
That's crazy, isn't it?
Down there in the in Gamecock territory.
That's amazing.
They got to have something to do, right?
I reckon so.
Yeah. Well, you know, can't watch football.
Yeah.
That's depressing. Let's go catch some trout.
Yeah. I like it.
DNR stocks nearly 30,000 trout each year in the lower Saluda from December through February in what's called a put, grow, and take fishery that relies on stocking to maintain the populations. Trout grow rapidly after stocking and can exceed 20 inches in 1 or 2 years after stocking, and that's considered a trophy size for that type of fishery.
Yes.
And then, of course, like we were talking about, as of July 1st last year, the lower reach of the Saluda River from the eastbound I-20 bridge downstream to Stacy's Ledge, which I have no idea where that is, but if you're a trout fisherman, you probably know where it's at.
Probably do.
And that's a year-round catch-and-release fishing only for all species of cold-water trout. It'll be unlawful to take and retain any trout at any time in that section of the river. So basically that's a lot of fly fishermen from the Midlands go down there, and that's where they're going to catch and release trout, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger without having to worry about people like Springer coming down there with a can of corn and taking them out.
Have you ever done some of that type of trout fishing?
Oh, yeah.
You really have?
Yeah, I tell you what, and I've actually done a kayak float. I did an article about it for Carolina Sportsman several years ago for my kayaking column, and I had one of the local guys take me down there, and he was a big fly fishing guy.
Okay.
And I wasn't about to be in a kayak with a fly rod.
I get it.
That's a roping contest there.
Roger that.
And I didn't want to be hogtied and on the water at the same time. But we use spinning tackle, and he said, hey, the best thing to use down here is these little rebel, you know, the creature baits.
Yes.
They're crank baits for, like, the crickets and the crawfish like that.
They got grasshopper.
Yeah, grasshoppers
crawfish,
and all that.
Blah, blah, blah.
And we caught some really good trout.
Right.
You know, and we released all of them. I don't think that was the catch and release mandatory area. But really what we were down there for was the stripers – come up to
eat
that area
and they eat
when
them.
They release those trout and they eat those and
I they
eat
they
the
do.
Trout and the guy said, look, you can tell if there are stripers are up here if we catch trout.
Right.
He said, if we don't catch any trout, that means the stripers are here.
Right.
Because they've eat all the trout. So we were catching trout, and he said, nah, stripers aren't here yet, because we were catching pretty decent ones. And that doesn't mean that they eat all of them, But
right.
The trout, yeah, they learn.
So would they frown on Springer if I, gosh dang, took a nice rainbow and freelined him and tried to catch a striper?
I mean, you know
what I'm saying?
I guess so long as you caught a legal trout.
That's what I'm saying.
And
then I rip out my big spinning reel and freeline him, man.
Yeah. I mean, I figure you know enough people at DNR that they would be like, we're going to give him the Springer exception
okay.
warning on it.
But that just
– he don't know no better.
A light bulb just went off in my head when you were saying
yep.
that.
Yep. You could get out there and freeline that trout out
since
there.
Since we have a moment, speaking of big stripers.
Yeah.
Somebody caught one this past week that
oh,
you
yeah.
know of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were when
y'all were crappie fishing again.
Yeah, Boat Girl and I were out on Lake Greenwood. We were actually in our creek.
Wow.
Where we just bought a place on Lake Greenwood, and so we were running around and got all kind of reports. Man, there's fish on the bridges down there. So we were going down there and kind of look at the bridges. And of course, I'm in Boat Girl's, you know. In her royal boat.
The Key West, baby.
Yeah, and she's like, you're not going to beat my Key West up on those bridge pilings. So we got to do something else. So I said, well, okay, let's go down to, you know, our creek and we'll long line.
Okay.
And we got down there and found a bunch of bait in the creek. And so we put our baits out and we were using crappie jigs tipped with menace. And we were just easing around there. And when you're doing that this time of year, you're likely to catch
anything
that swims. And so we caught a few crappie and caught a couple of spotted bass, which
right.
I'm always sad to see that in Lake Greenwood because it's an invasive species. And we caught a couple of white perch,
right.
which I'm kind of getting accustomed to that since I figured out they make good fish tacos.
Right.
And then, you know, right about dark, we were getting ready to leave, and one of the rods just takes off.
Took off.
And I knew what it was because they do stock stripers in Lake Greenwood. And it was on her side of the boat. And so a 5-foot girl with a 12-foot rod and about a 6 or 7, 8-pound striper.
That striper looked bigger than that, but that's about what it was.
Well, that's why I use a small model.
Okay.
And have her hold it out.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You are a professional.
I didn't weigh it. He might have gone 10. So,
it's a good fish.
Which that's a good fish for
how
Lake,
many times she,
for
did
Lake
it take
Greenwood.
Her around the boat?
Well, you know, she did a good job. We pulled all the other lines in, and I put her on the front of the boat and got on a trolling motor. And,
right.
And she's like, oh, he's going to break me off. He's going to break me off. I'm like, no, nah, you just keep hanging on.
Right.
And I'll chase him down. And we got the fish in the boat.
So y'all were basically great white fishing chip style with crappie
we
and
were
a striper.
Not, we were not.
Because you're having to chase the fish down.
We did not put a chum slick out. No, we did not put a chum
but
slick out.
I'm just
out.
Talking about, you know, with a fish like that, you're having to work the trolling motor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because you're only using, what, 6-pound time?
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, Amberdeen hook?
No, I think we were using 1/16-ounce jigs, and we had number two hooks on those jig heads. And
that's micro
stuff. 6-pound tests.
Yeah.
So I have actually caught bigger stripers than that when I'm crappie fishing, and it's just a matter of you got to have some luck.
Yeah.
You know, the fish has got to stay with you and not head directly.
And patience.
And you got to work him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Good job, Boat Girl.
Let's go to our break because we got Barry Davis in the wings and looking forward to talking to Barry. He's one of the leads down here at the Cabela's in the fishing department, so we can talk a little bit about that. And also his next adventure we got coming up in the kayak industry with Bonafide Kayaks.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at Cabela's, 106.3 WORD. Going to talk to the GOAT next. That would be Barry Davis. Stay tuned.
That must be playing your music now.
No,
Springer.
Man, that ain't me.
Yeah, that's Springer.
No.
Springer's doing a lot of hip-hop here these days.
The only thing that when I do hip-hop, I just have bones pop.
The last time Springer did hip-hop, he was standing in an anthill.
True.
Some
with
fire
flip-flops
ant.
On.
There you go. So we got our buddy Barry Davis from the fishing department back here at Cabela's on with us. Barry, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Pleasure to have you back.
We are doing well. And so we want to talk a little bit about some of the advances that are going on here at Cabela's. You guys took the fishing department. And, I mean, you know, we got to say that, you know, back before a lot of the changes, there was a little bit of criticism about some of the
yep.
tackle selections.
Yep.
And I think you and the guys back there in the fishing tackle department saw that as a challenge and have addressed that.
Yes, us and being acquired by Bass Pro.
That don't hurt either.
It changed a lot.
Yeah, that don't hurt.
No, you don't put bass at the front of your name and not become a bass fishing shop.
Bingo.
So we're set up for bass. And as far as growing, we've almost doubled our floor space.
Mm-hmm.
We're 65 yards deep.
What are you hearing from a lot of the customers coming in now talking about the fishing tackle selections?
Most positive. You get a few that, you know, diehard Cabela's people that I wish you hadn't changed, but that's very few.
Yeah.
The most of them are going to be, hey, I love this, man. We've got more stuff than we've ever had before to choose from. You've got it segregated out. You got your bass stuff up here at the front. It looks good. It's easy to find, except for us.
I know the initial floor plan when the Cabela's first got here was they lined their rods up by height.
Yeah.
So they started out, and you're like, so you'd have, you know, crappie fishing poles, which are historically longer,
yeah,
right next to a surf fishing rod. And you're like,
I can't pier fish with this.
Well, daggum, they are about the same size, aren't they?
You can catch them a little whiting with it.
Yeah.
There you go, Barry.
And so you'd be looking, and you'd be like, well, I want a 7-foot rod. Well, just keep going on down the line that way. But you had to wade through a lot of stuff.
The improvements are outstanding. The improvements are off the chart. I mean, it's just like I was walking around earlier, and I was just like, man, this is what we needed. This is what we wanted to happen, and it's good. And by God, they've done it right here.
Well, they gave us a floor plan to kind of go by, and then the boss told us to take it and run. So we took it and ran, and it's nowhere near what they – wanted original, but it was approved, so I guess we can talk about that anyway.
And so, and that was no easy feat, because I know there was a lot of early late nights and early mornings and through the night stocking and shuffling and reorganizing going on here in the store.
Oh yeah, well, just this past week we've had over 10,000 pieces come in for our department just on the trucks this week.
Well, one of the issues as an angler is if you're late to the party and you come in and let's say there's a particular bait that's hot and people want that, but you're out of it.
Right.
What's the turnaround time now to get a bait back in?
Short. Unless somebody came and cleared the peg off today and it had 10 on it, we would probably turn around and get the next 3 or 4 days because they're going off sales now,
where
it's not like it used to be. So as that peg's selling down, it's already on that shipment to be pegged out here. And nowadays, it's seldom. Bassmaster Classic comes into town, they find out they're hitting a white chatterbait.
Yep.
Somebody's going to come up here and clean every white chatterbait off the shelf. Then you're kind of in a fix for a week or a week and a half.
Well, I mean, better week and a half
than
we're not going to have it till next. Oh, we're not getting none of them till next season.
Well, we've learned a lesson on that. You kind of watch what's going on when you got a big tournament like that, and if they're hitting something, you stagger them. You put 3 or 4 on the peg.
Oh, yeah.
Then when they clean that off, you go put 3 or 4 more on the peg.
Right. See, Barry is amazing.
And that keeps your customers coming, so that makes a lot of sense. So, also, one of the things that we want to talk about is you've been on the kayak bass fishing trail. Have they started that back this year?
Our first open tournament for anybody will be Santee on the 23rd.
Okay.
We just got back from Benville, Florida, and it was an invite-only, members-only tournament.
Oh.
It's kind of like the special thing.
So that's where they go around and serve champagne when you're out there in the kayak and you got to hold
that.
Yeah, okay.
I missed the fish, too,
You missed the fish at Benville?
At least it was in Florida, for goodness sake.
The first fish I've caught this year was at Benville because I hadn't had time to go with everything I've had going on, and it was a whole 9 inches.
Mm.
Yep. And Benville's not known for 9-inch fish.
And then he went down to Barry's Pond day before yesterday and caught a daggum 17-incher. So there you go.
And Springer's explanation is, hey, why didn't you put that 9-incher on a big hook and just troll him behind the boat? Because that would work, right?
True.
I think they have game fish laws down there too, Springer.
Them daggum laws, man. They get me every time.
They frown on that. Well, how long you been kayak fishing?
This will be my ninth year.
I remember you and I go back to the old Upstate Kayak Fishing Club days and doing some stuff like that, and you have progressed on that. And then, of course, you retired from the fire department and said, you know what, I think I'm going to tow this plastic boat around the country and fish out of it.
Yeah, I was actually doing it before I retired, and I had so much time built up at the fire department I could take off in about an eternity, it seemed like. So it worked out pretty good for me doing the first couple of years of the trail, and then the trail kept changing on how many dates you had to make, and it was getting harder and harder. So when I retired, I said, hey, I'll do it. And then I come over here to work.
And messed that up again.
And messed everything up.
Insurance, man, you got to have
exactly
insurance.
Exactly.
That's it. And the best I recall, you did like a lot of us did, and you jumped into the probably the biggest, heaviest kayak you could find, which was a Hobie Pro Angler. I remember you
had
a bass seat mounted in it with probably with bolts, just like it is. Man, I'm going to have my bass fishing seat in that.
It's the most comfortable PA-14 you'd ever sit in.
Yeah, and also you throw your back out quicker than anything else because them things are like a plastic John boat. But you progressed through, went pro staff with the Wilderness Systems.
I did.
And then all of that changed just in the last week.
Yeah, things happened quick in the last week. Actually, last Monday, we were doing inventory here, and I was on my lunch break and happened to see a person put something on Facebook that owns a local company here, and he said he was looking for a employee. And I said, yeah, I might just hit him and see what this is going to be. I didn't figure it's going to pay anything. You know, it'd probably be a lower end payment job type deal. So I sent him a text. Well, he just immediately come right back. He said, man, I think this job would be for you. And the conversation back and forth, the text, he said, I need to talk to you. I said, we're doing inventory today. My lunch is almost over. I said, I'll have to talk to you another day. He said, well, give me a number and I'll call you. So I give him the number, and I said, I'll leave to go to Bentonville tomorrow. So we talked for about 30 or 40 minutes on the phone with me driving down to Bentonville, and he said, I know you don't have a resume with you going to Florida. He said, make me one the best you can.
On the road. I could do you a video resume because Barry will do a video going down the road in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I will. I will. I do have a phone holder, though. I don't have to hold that myself.
Okay.
But anyway, he told me, he said, just do something on Facebook. Send it to me. So I'd done something on Facebook Messenger, sent it to him. He forwarded it on to the fellow I need to talk to over here at the plant. I got a phone call the next day while I was on the water fishing a tournament. And she said, you busy? I said, I'm fishing a tournament, but I know where this phone call is coming from, so I can take it.
Yeah.
And she said, we need to set an interview up with you. And I'd done that immediately when I got back this past Monday. And things accelerated quick. They told me it'd be a couple of weeks before they knew who they was going to hire. 3 days later, I'm being told, hey, you got an offer. If you'll take this, you're going to be our new one.
So, unfortunately, you're going to be leaving the fishing department here at Cabela's, but you're going to be going over to Bonafide Kayaks.
Bonafide,
which
that's right.
Which is a local Greenville company, and there's been a lot of press about Bonafide. I know Luther Cypher is the owner of Bonafide. Back when he started in the Yak Attack days.
Which is strong.
And, a very strong kayak accessory company. Yeah. And people kept saying, Luther, with your drive and your knowledge and your experience and your design capabilities, why don't you build a kayak?
Yep.
And Luther was like, I got too many friends and too many places and everything. And somebody got his ear, and he said, you know what? We can do it.
Yep.
We can do it a particular way that we think will appeal to a lot of people. And they've built probably is becoming a leader in the kayak industry with Bonafide Kayaks.
Yes, it is. It's a two-year-old company, and they're jumping leaps and bounds, growing leaps and bounds, thus me getting the job.
And so tell us a little bit, what will you actually be doing for Bonafide? I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of paddling and fishing involved in your venture.
A little bit.
Or talking about it anyway.
Well, I'll talk about it a lot. I'll do it as much as I can, which is going to be more than I'm able to working here. That's the thing about working retail. You don't get every weekend off, that's for sure.
Yep.
And that cuts down on your tournament schedule. I'm going to be the technical rep, / delivery, / whatever other hat he throws on my head, because they told me I would have several hats to wear.
Okay.
My first couple of months, because it's coming up spring here pretty quick, all the smaller shops are going to be putting their boat orders in or already have. They've got boats standing everywhere in the warehouse. You may have seen it on my Facebook the other day. I'll be doing some delivery between Maryland and Florida.
Wow.
They have their own 26-foot truck that they do deliveries on, the what they call a close to. So I'll go hit those shops. Help them with setting up and how they're going to do the retail side of it, what they should do to make it presentation-wise look good, how they should present it with some Yak Attack products on it. So I'll be doubling up doing both companies. And then I'll be their tech rep that they can call and ask questions on.
So let me ask you a loaded question.
Wow.
of all the kayaks, and there are a ton of kayak manufacturers out there, and I mean, generally speaking, a lot of them are very similar. But the things that I keep hearing over and over is Bonafide's just different. Bonafide's just different. How are they different?
They're different on the way their stability kicks in. If you look at a normal kayak, the old style kayaks were basically just a V on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand up in that. I don't care how good your balance is, you're not going to stay up there long fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody come out with a gull wing style design, kind of look like a bird with its wings out, you know, had that little gull wing thing under there, and it's got a little bit of a pontoon on the outside, but it's rounded.
Right.
It's not squared off.
And that's going to hurt your overall speed
it
when you're trying to get
little,
somewhere. Yeah.
But, you know, they've overcome it. I mean, the boat that I'm leaving out of is as fast a boat out there. And, you know, Wilderness Systems done well with what they've done. But then come along Bonafide.
Yeah.
And they squared off the pontoons a little bit. If you get to looking at them on the website, you can go to Bonafide.com. There's video after video after video. I've spent the last couple of nights trying to learn my job off the videos.
Yeah. Sure.
It's because, you know, when you're changing companies, you got to learn as much as you can before you go in. So it explains everything about how the squared off, if you want to call it that. That's really not the term to use. But you can stand on the side of that boat, and you're not going to turn it over. It gets to a point, it's going to stop.
Yeah.
It will not turn over. Now, you might lose your balance and fall off of it, but you're not going to turn the boat over.
So having been in a Hobie kayak in the legendary Stabilities,
right,
that comes with, you know, the width of it,
right,
how would you rate that? Are they similar?
I haven't tested it as much as I've tested my PA at the time, but uh-huh. I can tell you this, I've been in the water twice off my PA.
Have you?
Yes, sir. And I know other people have been in the water twice. One time was when a $150 pair of sunglasses went overboard.
Oh.
And dummy me reached right into the water to get them. And
yep.
You know, wherever your head goes, you're going.
Yeah.
So that's number one rule in kayak. Keep your head inside the boat stays upright.
There you go.
So, you know, I followed it right on over. I dumped me at Benville 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
fortunately, that's shallow water, generally speaking.
I was in about 12 foot there. And,
oh, okay.
And the guy that was with me, he said, I'm going to tell you got back in your boat about that 8 foot gator laying over there. I said, I'm not worried about him. I'm about as big as he is, so we're good.
Well, I seen you was, what color did you go with, Barry, when you first
went? I hadn't picked it out.
Okay,
yet.
Okay. I knew that's been a big decision.
I got to talk to somebody. Yeah, I put out there the gray, the blue, or to go with the Woodsman, which is the green with the
right.
wood grain look. And I really like that Woodsman thing, but I'm leaning between the gray and the blue right now.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked to Luther, I don't know, how long?
It was last year.
About a year ago. And asked him, say, you know, what was it about the upstate area, about Greenville, that made you want to come here? Because he is from Virginia. That's where Yak Attack is.
Yep.
What made you come down here to build your kayak? And, you know, part of his answer was there's a lot of experience with roto molding in this area.
Yep.
And he also said that there was a lot of natural gas
yeah.
in this area. And I said, Lord, don't I know it? I've been working with Springer for 5 years.
Springer, didn't
and we
that's,
got
that's
hey,
not natural
we,
gas.
We got hot air and natural gas in spades.
Oh,
but I never really thought about that. And he said, yeah, you know, they had the natural resources and the talent that we were looking for to do
right.
that. And I guess little did they know that we got some pretty dedicated kayak anglers in this area, too, with a
yep.
lot of experience.
I tell people all the time, you don't realize how big South Carolina is in the fishing industry.
And yep.
then when it comes to the kayak industry, it's huge. Because
yep.
you got two of the biggest fishing kayak manufacturers here in Greenville, South Carolina.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Barry, we're going to have to go to a commercial break now. We appreciate you being on the show with us
yes,
and sharing your next adventure. And you folks, you got, what, about 11 days?
11 days left.
Come on out here to Cabela's and talk to Barry. And if you're like, well, man, that's my go-to guy that I buy fishing tackle from.
Got to find another
he'll
one.
He'll hand you off, I'm sure. So we're going to go to our break now. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up today's edition of Upstate Outdoors.
Best of luck to you, Brother Barry.
Thank you, guys.
All right, this is Upstate Outdoors live at Cabela's, 106.3 WORD. We'll come back and wrap this bad boy up.
Well, it is time for the calendar of events here on Upstate Outdoors. Take it away, Mr. Springer.
Well, if you're anywhere in the vicinity of this place right here, Cabela's on Woodruff Road, and you don't come in here right now and see my partner give a seminar at 2 o'clock, well, to heck with you.
And okay? you need to get here right now.
You need to get here right now. And that's going on starting at 2. I want to tell everyone out there that the Wild Game Banquet that went on last night and it is going on tonight at the First Baptist Spartanburg Recreation, you ought to see the crowd, Philip.
Yep.
It was unreal. There's no more tickets available for tonight. Chris Wells has sold the house out two nights in a row.
He's got
another one coming up at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Buffalo. He's going to have a Wild Game Supper on March the 9th, Saturday, 6 p.m. Doors open at 5:30, and he will be doing his thing again. And ticket prices are adults 15, children 10, children 5 and under free. And for more information, call Melvin Shelton at 864-426-3251 or Brittany Billings at 864-706-5164. Or go to chriswells.org and check out his website, and there will be some information there. Coming up, excuse me, on the 20th, the Hunting Heritage Banquet, Greenville Wild Turkey, National Wild Turkey Federation chapter will be having their banquet at the St. George Hellenic Center in Greenville. And that will start, at 6 p.m. And for more information, you can call Cliff Timmons at 864-616-6769. Also, our good friends at Carolina Farm and Wildlife will be having a first annual Crackin' Nut Squirrel Tournament coming up February the 23rd.
Is that where you have to hit them?
That's where you have to hit them, right in the nuts. And if you're interested in that, that is, once again, coming up February the 23rd. Contact our good buddy Bart at Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply at 864-585-0935. Also coming up in March on Saturday the 30th, we got an antique fishing tackle show by our good buddy Old Hack. And it's sponsored by the Carolina Antique Tackles Collectors. And that will be going on at Crown Plaza in Greenville, South Carolina. And for more information, contact our show host, Hack, at 864-380-3129 or Sharon at 864-704-8371.
Those guys do a booth over at the Greenville Boat Show every year.
Cool lures.
And it's getting bigger and bigger and
yes.
bigger. And so that's pretty cool.
And one more. Coming up in April, we have the Lions Club Fishing Tournament. Reeling Money for Eye Care, and that will be going on April the 6th. And if you're interested in the tournament, please contact Allison Ranch at the 864-417-3997 or Larry at 864-877-6956.
And that's going to be going on at Lake Robinson
yes.
in Greer.
Lake Robinson in Greer, and it's going to be 5:45, the gates open, 6:30 pre-tournament meeting. And like I said, for more information, you can go – I'll give you a website here. Yes, how about Allison – this is an email, Allison at Ranch at GreerCPW.com. And there you have it, Philip.
Awesome.
Of events.
While we got a couple of minutes left, it's time to jump into our parting shot.
Here's this week's parting shot with Philip and Tommy.
Should take these two fellas home and see if you can keep them out of trouble for a while.
On 106.3 WORD.
Well, we were just talking with our local kayak expert resident, Barry Davis, and got some more sort of kayak news about a launch that wasn't supposed to take place.
Had a little help.
Apparently, Dalmatians don't have the same grace with RVs as they do fire engines. Now, Eric Jackson of Rock Island, Tennessee, is no stranger to backing a boat down a ramp. Eric is a professional angler, a whitewater kayaker, and he is the president of Jackson Kayaks, so he spends a lot of time on the water.
Exactly. Naturally.
Well, Jackson was launching a boat at Lake Sam Rayburn over in Texas the day before the start of the Fishing League Worldwide 2019 Tour when his two-year-old Dalmatian, Bodie, decided to switch gears, and we're talking literally. And you can see some video if you go to wideopenspaces.com and look for it there. And you'll see as the 38-foot RV sat in park on the ramp at the Umphrey Family Pavilion on Highway 255, Bodie supposedly bumped the transmission shifter, putting the vehicle into reverse and sending it downhill. In the video, you see Jackson standing on the bumper unloading the boat when the white reverse lights flip on. in a state of panic. He jumps off the trailer and runs around to the door trying to stop the vehicle from taking on too much water. He says, by the time I got my foot on the brake, the back wheels was floating.
Not good.
Yep. And that's according to his interview with 12 News. As the video continues, we see a considerable amount of water floating around inside the RV, and it cuts off before you can see how the truck did coming out. But a Facebook post from Jackson indicates that they did eventually get the rig out, and it looks like it's ruined.
Yeah, it does.
He says, this RV will never leave Texas from what I can tell, the post reads. Just about everything in it is ruined, and the water damage to the floors and walls is starting to take its toll. And while this is a bummer for Jackson, we can learn from his misfortune. Keep your dog away from the gear shift when you're on the boat ramp.
That would be a smart thing.
I've seen fishing partners do that too.
Yeah.
Guy be backing in, take his foot off the brake and all that. So, hey, don't blame it all on the dog.
Hey, man, dogs are smart, man. They're the only thing that can lick their butt and back the RV down the boat ramp at the same time.
There you go. Well, we're out of time for today. Want to thank our guest, Kaylin Harbin with Cabela's, also Barry Davis from Cabela's. And you folks have got about 39 seconds to get to the back, beat me to the back. And Springer, that's the end of the show. Take us home, brother.
God bless. Appreciate meeting and talking to everybody. See you next week. Love you, mean it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.